two executives from the failed solar company Solyndra now say they're going to exercise their Fifth Amendment rights at Friday's congressional hearing about how the company went bankrupt after receiving $500 million in government loans. Their lawyers say it would be improper to testify because a criminal investigation is also underway. Emails surfaced last week showing Obama administration officials downplaying concerns about Solyndra's financial health, and that had Republican lawmakers like Senator Lisa Murkowski of Alaska fuming.
We have a colossal failure within the Department of Energy with regards to this loan guarantee. It's calling into question every loan guarantee that has been issued and quite clearly any future loan guarantees that will go forward.
So what will happen to the U.S. solar industry? Will the government stop investing, even as the Chinese government continues to give billions in subsidies to its solar industry? First, let's ask one of the companies receiving federal loan guarantees, 1366 Technologies. They're based in Lexington, Massachusetts. They were just approved for $150 million to build a factory in the U.S., but they'll get that money in about 2 years if they can prove that their technology to dramatically cut the time and cost of producing silicon wafers works outside the lab. And 1366 Technology CEO Frank Van Mierlo joins us. Welcome.
Thank you.
You know the questions are being raised. So just right off the bat, what do you say to a taxpayer who says, why should my dollars go to you when I'm watching not just Solyndra, but other companies like Evergreen, which was also based here in Massachusetts, fail?
Yeah, and that is an excellent question. And when things go wrong, it's a tragedy, especially when people lose their jobs. However, the solar industry is very vibrant. And what would be a pity is that in the face of these mishaps, we would lose sight of that. The solar industry is growing 20% this year, and that's on the back of 30 years uninterrupted growth.
Well, but you have a particular problem, which is that while a solar company may be racing to make new technology, along comes someone else with even newer technology, or in the case of China, cheaper technology. So let's just talk about yours for a second. You make polysilicon solar wafers, and these are those little squares that fit into solar panels, and you say you are making them in a more cost-effective way. So explain that.
So today, silicon wafers are made with a very cumbersome process. You take extremely pure, highly refined silicon, and you melt that, and you then let it solidify slowly over the period of 2 days into an ingot. That ingot you then cut into bricks. The brick you glue to a plate. Then the brick goes into a wire saw, where an actual saw cuts the wafers to about 200 micron thick. So that's about 0.2 millimeters. And so the saw is going to be about the same width as the wafer, and therefore you waste half of the silicon in the process.
Right. Very expensive, all of this whole process.
All of this is very expensive and very time-consuming. It takes the better part of a week. And so my co-founder, MIT professor Ellie Sachs, has invented a process where he makes a square, standard 6-inch wafers, 200 microns thick, directly from the melt, in 25 seconds.
And what you say that that will do, if you can get this up to factory production level, is reduce the cost, but also reduce the time. Now, there's a lot of excitement about this. The Department of Energy is excited. We were reading an article about you from last February in the New York Times. They were raving technology that isn't being done in any other country, even China, a goal to make solar energy as cheap as coal. And then in the next sentence, but it may not work. And that's where the taxpayer gets nervous.
Well, let's not forget that when it comes to innovation and making stuff work, there is no better place than America. And so the idea that the next breakthroughs and the next technology will come from the United States, that is a pretty good bet.
David Baker, who covers energy for the San Francisco Chronicle, was on NPR recently, and he points out that we've fallen way behind in actually producing solar panels and cells. And we're now, I think, producing maybe 7%, seeding the production of this to places like China because it's less expensive.
So you're absolutely right. And that's true across not only in solar, it's across many industries. That's true that we are essentially ceding the manufacturing jobs to other countries.
Well, so solar isn't that different from, you know, other industries. But of course, the other point, and, you know, we all know this, is that China subsidizes its solar manufacturers $30 billion worth. I mean, can you compete with that?
Well, that's the question we should ask as a nation. Do we want to compete? But if we're going to compete, then solar is absolutely the industry to do it in because it's such a great industry. It's growing at 20% a year. Prices have dropped dramatically over the last couple of years. I mean, they've dropped by as much as 50% in the last 2 years. We're well on our way to becoming competitive with coal-generated electricity. And so here you're looking at an industry that's incredibly vibrant, where we have a clear technology lead. And so if we're going to compete anywhere, then this is an exciting place to compete. So the way the DOE loan is structured is we'll break ground in 2013 on a large-scale manufacturing plant somewhere in the U.S.
And you will do it in the U.S.?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the condition of the loan. Now, it's fair to say that without this loan, I would probably be driven offshore. So in our case, the loan is vital to creating those jobs here in the U.S.
But other companies that have had the loans, I'm thinking of Evergreen, you're familiar with them, Evergreen Solar, they received, well, millions in tax breaks from Massachusetts to build their factory here. They shuttered the factory. They moved to China. The CEO of the company, Michael L. Hillo, said he was going to China because the access to startups was staggering there. But he even went to China and failed. How do you react to that? And what's the cautionary tale there for you?
Well, again, allow me to paint you a positive picture, a sunny picture, if you
I'm going to invest
so
in
want.
You.
Today, the cost of solar is dramatically dropping. So within the end of the decade, we will be competitive with coal-generated electricity. If you look at the curves and the price decline we've had over the last 30 years, we're getting very close to that transformative point. And so there is a possibility here to generate a ton of jobs, become energy independent, and create a much better world. And that's a vision worth fighting for.
What happened in your building, in your head, when the Solyndra story exploded? You know, the political will in Washington. How does that hit you?
No, you're absolutely right. I'm very concerned about that. I am concerned that we lose sight of the fact that this is such a promising industry that has the potential to generate this many jobs. I mean, there's about 300 companies worldwide working in the solar sector. About 100 of those are in the U.S. Some of the best are in the U.S. You know, we currently are employing about worldwide, there's about 200,000 people working in the solar sector. By the end of the decade, that's going to be over 1 million people. And that's directly in the sector. Then there's all the people supplying that sector. So, you know, there's a lot of job generation in a world where the economy is mostly flat. So there's not that many opportunities like that. And it would be a real tragedy if we lose sight of that.
That's Frank Van Mierlo, CEO of 1366 Technologies, a Lexington, Massachusetts-based company that just received $150 million in federal loans. Frank, best of luck to you.
Thank you.
Welcome back to our look at the solar industry, which has been rocked by the failure of Solyndra, despite that company getting $500 million in federal loans. And Congress and the Justice Department are now investigating the company. Pretty dark clouds. And you can also add competition from the heavily subsidized Chinese solar industry and competition between U.S. companies. We just heard from 1366 Technologies, which is based here in Massachusetts. They compete with Arizona's very successful First Solar, each company betting they have the better technology, but maybe only one will ultimately go forward. Now, there are bright spots. Two new solar industry reports point to 69% growth in the industry in the second quarter of 2011 over the last year, nearly 7,000 new jobs in the past year, and the cost of solar modules has gone down by 12%. But how much of a hit will the industry take because of Solyndra? Eric Sherman covers high-tech industries for the online news organization BNet. Eric, as we said, Solyndra faced competition with China because they produce much cheaper solar panels because of billions in huge government subsidies. So remind us, how much of an advantage these Chinese companies have?
Well, Chinese solar panels are delivering power at about 30% less cost than you can find elsewhere in the world on the average. And that's a significant price difference. That's enough to make people go turn to a Chinese producer. Part of that is loan guarantees from the Chinese government. Part of it is the rate at which the Chinese currency trades against other currencies.
Sure. Critics of China say China controls its currency, artificially makes its products cheaper. And also, others have said that the product is cheaper in other ways. It's just good enough. In other words, the U.S. may have the technological innovation, but what does that matter if China is actually the place where things get made?
Well, it will matter in the long run because solar power is still far more expensive than other forms of electricity. If you take a look at U.S. government projections for 2016, solar power is projected to be about 3 times more expensive, say, than coal. It's a significant difference. You have to bring that cost way, way down for solar to start competing with conventional types of power.
And are you saying that's where U.S. innovation is going to win?
Exactly, or that's where it could win. The whole point is you need the panels to be more efficient to generate more electricity per square foot of panel, and you need the price of manufacturing to come down. In the U.S., companies have been focusing on those very areas. Solyndra was doing some innovation in terms of how it built panels, but the real innovation needs to be in making solar more effective and more efficient.
Yeah. We'll talk about some of the other issues. When oil gets cheaper, for instance, investors lose interest in solar energy.
Absolutely.
Yep.
It's historic. And right now we've just seen oil prices shoot up in 2008. Now that they've dropped down again, interest will start to waver. It's tough to keep investors focused on an area that's really long-term growth.
And then there are the two huge conundrums, storage and delivery. So what sort of investment is needed in the U.S. grid to be able to deliver solar energy but also store power from solar plants?
You have to realize that the U.S. power industry uses different types of generation at different times. So you might fire up coal power during the day. You might switch to natural gas when you need an extra boost. You could see solar panels working during the day. The power doesn't necessarily have to be stored to be effective. If it's generating power and pushing it onto the grid during the day when it's most needed, that could do a lot.
But that's a huge capital expense, right, to upgrade the grid so that it can take this power onto the grid.
What it is a long-term investment. You have to build power plants going forward that rely on solar. You're not going to be able to retrofit a coal-fired plant for solar. It just doesn't work that way. Yeah. You have to build new ones.
Well, and that brings us back to the political realities and the political will right now. You know, we know the history. Jimmy Carter had solar cells installed in the White House. Ronald Reagan ripped them out. And today you have, you know, Republicans leading the investigation into Solyndra. Now, we know that where solar is working well, it's in states like California. They don't only have sunshine, but they have political will. They don't allow new coal plants. They require that some energy be bought from alternative sources. How much is the political will going to be important in the future of solar energy, and how much has that been damaged right now?
It's certainly been damaged. Everything is being turned into a political football, no matter what the topic these days. So the country doesn't end up looking at issues and making the choices it needs to going forward. Both sides, let me underscore this, are interested in scoring points because they want to be reelected. What you have to do here is say, okay, what is good policy, period? Now, California has solar power and other alternative powers. It also has very high electric costs compared to other parts of the country. Are people going to be willing to pay that? I don't know. This is where a real development in improving solar power efficiency could come in handy.
Well, so Eric Sherman, you cover the solar industry for the online news site BNet. What do you see? As you aggregate all this information, what do you see? Is it inevitable, or do you think this may be a moment where it loses traction?
It may lose traction temporarily, but oil prices are just going to keep climbing. So if you take a look at U.S. government projections, you're probably looking by 2025 at oil costing maybe $160, $170. This is a significant price jump, and the country will be forced to come to grips with it. The question is, are we going to do the work now to prepare for it to moderate the impact?
Eric Sherman, thanks so much.
Thank you.